And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. This ends the Bible reading of the day.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
And I wish us happy Lord's Day. Today is a great day before us. The Lord has done great things in our life. It's a day that we, as a child of God, should be able to comprehend and give all our attention, all our service, and all their work to worshiping God. One of the great things in the church that we all are familiar with, by this year, you know, being 139 years old. Most of us, we know the lyrics, we sing it often. When we walk with the Lord, can we sing it? When we walk with the Lord, in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. When we do His good will, He abides with us still, and the God who will trust and obey, trust. Only the sound of one song of that hymn. In 1886, I think they said there was a crusade meeting, and during the meeting of testimony, somebody rises up, a young man rises up in the midst. He said, "I don't know everything." What he said? "I don't know what? Everything." Who knows everything?
God.
He said, "I don't know everything." And I said, "I will trust and obey. I will trust and what? Obey." Amen. So someone now pick up the event and everything and give it a word, a song composer, and they form this song. And this song is evergreen. This year it will mark 139 years of the song. So God is always there for us. This gentleman recognized that there's someone that knows everything, and who is the person? God. He acknowledged that there's someone who knows everything. God is omniscient, all-knowing God. We can see that in the book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. He's all-knowing God. He knows everything. What you are passing through, what I'm passing through, someone knows it. What you are thinking right now, I don't know. The book of 1 Corinthians said what? It's only the man and the spirit in him that knows what he's thinking. What you are thinking right now, I don't know. But there's someone that knows it, and who? God. omnipotent God, all powerful in all applications. Omnipresent God, every word, everywhere. Is there, is there, is America in all areas. He knows everything. Have you ever imagined when you travel out of the country, you are on the plane at the above level? Have you ever tried to open the window side and see the floor? Every a whole country or every area look like a stone for you. Have you ever imagined that? If you're on the head, to show how powerful God is, that means he can see everyone from wherever you are on your head area. His eye is so sharp that the eyes can see. When I was coming down to UK, you see, at the top level over there now, I just glanced the window like this. I was seeing the floor. But when you're coming down to land, what happened? It's become what? More wider. So God is what? Is everywhere. But he said, but I'm going to trust, I'm going to what? Obey. So the writer wrote down the little sentence and gave it to him composer and performed that songs when we walk with what? With the Lord. What does this lyrics mean to us? Have you meditated on it? Joshua 1 verse what? Verse 8. He said what? Don't let the word of God depart from what? From your mouth. Meditate on what? Day and night. So that we shall do accordingly. Not anyhow. According as what? That written what? In that word. So that we also have what? A reward of success and many other things that was said in that area. Trusting God alone is not sufficient for us, brethren. Trusting God alone is what? Is not sufficient. But to obey him, have more gravity to put that word we trust in. He has even asked us, how do we say we what? We love God. If those words we see physically do not say, we don't love them. How do we prove that? So trusting God alone is not what? Is not sufficient. We must obey him in all ramifications. Doers of the word are not hearers only. I know we have no emphasis of that in the book of James chapter 1 verse 22. He said what? We will not be hearers alone, but what? Doers of what? Of God's words. Many people out there are hearing the same word we are hearing today. The difference there is that we put it to action. Others do not put it to what? Into action. The action there is what? Is more paramount in what? In everything we do. Trust and obey. When we trust God, we must also what? Obey his commandments. When we walk with the Lord, we need to live our life in close relationship with God, actively seeking his guidance and present in every aspect of our daily life. There must be God present in our life in everything we do. In word, in deed, whatever you do, in words or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. Whatever we do, in our action, in our thinking, everything we do, it must be in what? In accordance to the name of the Lord, or in accordance to what? To his instruction. In any decision we are taking, essentially making him the what? The central focus of what? Of our existence. In the light of his words, we need to understand or act depending on the guidance and truth revealed in what? In the Bible. We also must act based on what? The guidelines. Everybody says UK is a country that what? That humbles everybody. Am I right? That's the language or the slang that they used to say. UK what? We humble you. No matter how you are, no matter how powerful you have to do, when you come to this country, if what? You'll be humble. Why? They have what? Rules and guidance. So when we also, as a child of God, understand the structure of how God does things and all the things he has written, and we follow it, you see, we will what? We will be blessed. But can you give me the next line? Can you see this? This is a straight road. And that's the only road we all enjoy. You know how to drive, you don't know how to drive. You can drive easily. In this road, you already have what? accidents or anything on that same road. Same in our Christian way of life, our spiritual way of life. When everything is smooth, we thought that we can't prove that we trust God. Because all is working in what? In the same place we want to, we're enjoying it. Give me a second one, bro. You see this? When you come to roundabout or junction, you only have accident. Am I right? Because either you didn't take action immediately or you take it back, whatever like that, you only have these issues along the line. You know the painful thing there? You have a Google map or ways that guide you to drive. That's the battle we have today. When you drive and you lose some time, you know most time you're driving about like this. This one is more easier. We lose our track. We lose our path. And either way to take the first or second road, we have to take the third one. It can take you about 10 minutes again or 20 minutes to come back to the same point where you want to go and have a new turn. Have you ever noticed that? For those of us that are driving, this is what we face. Straight road is finding things that keep on going. Even if you can be sleeping. Most times I love driving M1. But this is what they call these truths. If you want to go away, we tell you about go back to your lane. You see? This is how Christianity is all about. So at the roundabout, at the moment of the challenge in your life, if you miss the route, it can take you many years or many years to come back to what? To where you're supposed to be. The painful thing there is, if you spend that 20 minutes and come back, if you go there with anger, you meet that same path again, second time. Have you ever happened to us? You go for the first time, you meet the road. You are not coming again after spending 20 minutes or 10 minutes and drive back. Front of that phone again, you miss that same path again. It's so frustrating. What do you call that? Lack of concentration. Maybe you are talking, for example, I'm driving, I don't like talking to my when I come to. I told them, we are going to round about. Stop talking. Because by the time you start talking now, I lose focus. You see me in the other direction. It can take you 20 minutes to come back to pick your point again. That's how Christianity is all about. At the time, this is all about is our moment of what? Challenges. It's the moment we have some little 2 inches in our life. It's the moment of circumstance whereby we can't go to the left, can't go to the right. We must have trust in what? In God. By working in our world, in accordance to that Google map, this what? Our Google map. Is that okay? But we miss it with the Google map, we miss route. So we can also have the Bible and miss what? Our road. We miss our salvation. And that we are calling on this morning, brothers and sisters, that in anything we do, in words or in deeds, let me go credit to paper 17. Colossians 3:17. Right, I'm taking back the first one. Are we there? And whatever you do in words or deed, do all, not partially, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then giving thanks to God the Father through us, through Him. So when you have a brother or a sister that are always guiding us or reminding us that we are losing our word, our track in the path of salvation. They stand as what? As the stood on the road. You know what we call stood? That mentor. If you see, we are driving on the motorway, on my M1 now, we have 3-4 colors. We have the red, we have the green, we have the amber, and we have the white. The white is always on the main part. So whenever you are driving, when you are sleeping, you don't enter that, if you enter that other, if you want to go to another person's part, it will notify you. So you go back to your lane. So, brethren among us or sisters among us can be that truth in our life. That part of us that are going away from what? From our path. And you have to enter that junction, that is the slip road, now you have the green. When you're approaching the green line, you just see the green line. Oh, this is where to follow. So, one or two of our brothers and sisters in our environment may stand at that stool in our life to guide us in our journey. We can't run the race by ourselves alone. So, while you're running the race, while you're driving, you're sleeping. Naturally, while you're driving, because you're tired, you are sleeping. Somebody there calls your attention that we are lucky. Mindful of what this and that. So, it's my duty as a Christian to what? To take note of what? Of those things. Then, we need to wholeheartedly trust God and obey His instruction and what? And all His ways. All the instructions of God are written in the scripture here. It's now our duty to what? To listen to it and what? And obey it. Trusting God and saying that on is not what? It's not enough. But John was saying this morning that he must also teach about what? Obedience. In your teaching, it's not about what? Teaching what? Obedience. Not only just coming to the church alone, but that thing that day, how many times do you put them to what? Into practice. That will make us a Christian. That will make us different from what? From others. Obedience of what? Of the word of God. When you ever obey the word of God, yes, it may not be palatable, brethren. It may not be palatable, but for most of us that are university students, we have more young among us here. That you are in university now, you may have to face a challenge because of inferiority complex. Sometimes the life we are living is not our life. We borrowed it. So for example, let me say this is my jacket now. You see, this jacket I'm wearing may not be mine. I borrowed it. Because of what? We allow the world to influence us. And there's one thing that they are able to say. He said, because the world does that, I can do a lot of the world. We are particular people, especially people that are not in accordance with what the world does. Everything may be right in the eyes of what of the world. Is it right in our eyes? How do we tell this? The book of 4:10, he said what? Things may be lawful. Things may be right. Whatever that put your friends are doing may be right. You not chapter to is it edify? That is where we stand as a child of God. Does that thing I'm doing, does it edify? God may tell something that is wrong and I say this is what? That is a rightful thing. But we as a child of God must what? Must look up to this. Where is Abraham in our midst? That trusted in God and obeyed his instruction because he believed that what? He is the creator of all things. Genesis chapter 22, verse 7 to 8. Remember when God said, Abraham was like what? His only son. He was going. The son was so wise and said, Isaac, father, in my own knowledge, my own experience, as young as I am, when you are doing burnt offering, three things must be there: firewood, light, and the lamb. This firewood, this is the what? The light. Where is what? The lamb. We don't remember what the word Abraham said. He said, God himself what? We provide. That's the word of what? Of Abraham. He tried in God that in all circumstances, whatever situation may be, the Lord the world will provide. Remember also the Hebrew word, men. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They are stories we all knew. But we need to remind what? Ourselves. Come and worship what? An image. They said they will not what? Worship him. Other people worship. That means we must not follow the unto the world to do sin. But all that people are doing it, they don't mean I have to what? Do it. We must distinguish ourselves from what? From those around us. That way we don't know that we are what? We are Christian. They said with confidence that our God will deliver us from what? From your hand. But they trust, even if he does not deliver us, we will never what? We will never pass down for you. Do you know the level of that? Trust in God, their loyalty. For someone to make that statement, even if God does not deliver me, I won't do this thing. You can even find some of the Hebrews that I miss here. That even your last student, they said it's death. I think, yes, let the death come, I will not change. They hold strong in the word of God, they trusted in God and obey. There are many of them, I can give us an example of them. Job was there too. Why is Job in our midst? Satan answered God. Does your friend God for nothing? You have left Job with all the things, material things and everything he need. Let me go to the book of Job chapter 2. Even especially I need an emphasis in verse chapter 1, verse 7. Have you not made end around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hand and his possession, and have increased in what? In the land. That is chapter 1, verses what? Verses 10. In verse 9, so Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for what? For nothing. Because you have been with a lot of things, he doesn't fear you. Is that true?" No. That means Job does not rely all his hope and everything upon material things. Everything he has, other has children and everything, he doesn't put all the trust in it. And when the roundabout of Jacob came to his life, what happened? He never lost trust in God. He owed on to God. But what his wife said, "Are you still loyal? This loyalty is too much for me. Are you still loyal? Lose your loyalty and cause God and what? And die." How many of us are still loyal in our challenges? How many of us are still loyal in our predicaments, in our suffering, in our pains? He's asking him, "Are you holding on to your integrity?" Don't. Cause God and die. Job now reminded him, "Ha." He said, "What? Can we accept nothing good from God? I do not tell another thing that word that not pleasant." That is the spirit of words of someone that understand how God operates. We must understand how God operates before we can be able to work to live this Christian life world successfully. We also remember Joshua and Caleb, the 12 spies that went out to Canaan to go and spy the land. 10 came with the word. They never came with the wrong results. The result they came with the word was right. These people are what? Are healthy and powerful. But what they came with fear, fear. They have lost confidence in what? In God. Not that what they came, the report they came with what? Was right. Those people in that land are what? Are healthy, strong, and even stronger than they do. But they created fear in them. And that was what the Lord wants. You will not play with what? With fear. What did Joshua and Caleb now did? They now saying, Joshua and Caleb gave a positive report saying that with God, all things at work are possible. That's what the trust is. If you don't understand how things operate, how things work, you may not get the results. Because Joshua and Caleb understand God, understand how God operates. God does not operate with what? With many things or maybe anything. He operates by what? By us trusting in him that he is only one that can what? That can do it. And Caleb and Joshua were successful in both Joshua chapter 1 verse 7. We can hear those things over there. And in Joshua chapter 1 verse 7, God also encouraged Joshua to be strong and be courageous. He reminded him also in verse 9 that if you are strong and courageous, do not be afraid, for the Lord of God is what? Is with you wherever you go. Wherever we go. Same time I keep on talking, hymns came to my brain. Hymns. Where you go, in what? Whatever like that. It keep on coming. Now, Joshua, God told Joshua, Moses has gone. You are the one there now. Be strong and be courageous. Do in accordance with the Lord appointed to what? To Moses. I will be with you. And the Lord is with all his what? Till today. If you continue to do what? His way. His what? He is still with us to what? Till today and forevermore. Ezra chapter 23, verse 2. Let's read Ezra chapter 23, verse 2. Do not follow a motto, do evil, because everyone is doing it doesn't make it to be right. I had to explain that one earlier on. You must not follow motto what? To do evil. Because my brother, my neighbor do it, my brother do it, I answer the word, do it. No. All things might be lawful or right for everyone, but they may not be evident or they may not be edified. And that we need to do. Education has overtaken right or lawful. Education has what? Has overtaken what? Sometimes it's right or what? Or lawful. And that's our primary aim as a child of God, to always see that whatever you are doing edifies others. Then in another hymn, Baba, they say what? What a glory is shed on our way. In another line, what a glory in what is shed on our way. If you are doing the right thing, following God's path now, it's as if our road is what? It's bright. It's shine. The glory of God has gone before us. So we can go walk majestically to anywhere we are going to. The reward of trusting God's word and obeying God's will, using God's word as a source of illumination to guide one's vision and action, as if a light is shining on the path ahead. I'm picking it. Give me that next one. You can see that what a glory is shed on our way. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, it's as if our way have been brightened or illuminated with what? With the glory of what? Of God. Ahead what? Of our life. While we do His good will, He abides with us what? Still. When we do good, when we do things that are good, the Lord abides with us still. And that's why Christ said, if we obey Him and keep His commandments, Him and His Father, we make our own work His abode. There are all of the scripture there. I'm not the one saying it. So that word is, Christ is telling us, the song is telling us, that when we follow God's pattern, His way of life, then His own glory in God will shed on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. We can go to John chapter 14, 4 to 15. Let me John 14, 4 to 15. John 14, 4 to 15. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. As long as you are following my instruction. That's why you are told, I will tell my children. You don't fear your parents because you saw them coming. That is not fear. You only fear your parents when we do what they ask us to do. When you fear God, it's because we are what? We are obeying His instruction. Saul was rejected because of what? He never do well. But when Samuel come to him and inform what he had done, Saul was also what? Defending in what? He said, he defended what? He read that three what? Defense. He said, you don't have to go. I have what? Have gone. Is it yes or no? Yes. He went for the mission. Destroy the Amalekites. Don't you destroy the Amalekites? Yes, but partially. Not all. He retained the word, the king. That's not what mercy God sent him. He said, these people are what? Have done something wrong to me. Go to them. Destroy all the people who in America, both men and what and female. No execution. That was the law. But Saul did not what? Follow the instruction of God. He followed part, he did the partial. Let me say, we can give him about 80% or 90%. He went on the mission, he killed the Amalekites, but he retained the king for sacrifice. And that my Samuel said, obedience better than what? Than sacrifice. He made that statement to Eli. He said, when you make any sacrifice to me, I will not what? I will not hear you. The headship of this thing, the priest of this hour, Lord, I've been moved for what? From your family. If you all understand how God operates, then you fear in us, never whatever what we are doing. So that is what Saul said to Samuel. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord has sent me. Yes. I will not destroy the Amalekite partially, for they say the king is not all that destroyed. Brought back the Agai, the king of Amalekite. We are part of what? The instructor what? Gave the word to him. And with all who will trust and obey, all this is not for me alone or for the apostles, but everyone that word that trust God and obey God's instruction. And with all we want, who we trust and obey, we have the same rewards. That's how the composer sang this song. Trust and obey, for there's no one other way. There's no other magic, other route we want to pass. For us to have joy in our life, for us to have happiness in our life, we must allow this to work in our life. But only one, by obeying the instruction word of God. Yes, it may not be palatable, but say earlier on. But when other people are eating what kind of food and you withdraw yourself, if you're not very careful, you might let me even try. Or we look inferior before our friends. That is somebody, why you doing this? Somebody, why you doing this thing? I'm telling you. I just saw that doing that, I'm also doing it. No. Whatever you are doing, you must make sure that it's in alignment with the word of God. So for all of us that are here, especially for our youth, let us know about these things. Don't let us do copy and paste. Most of us are living copy and paste lifestyle. Yes, I remember when I was in primary school, there was a guy that worked like this. And people are following you. Somebody just copy it, and you could not know that's how it's going to be, that's how you keep on working. Because if somebody working like this, I was told because the guy, you know the kind of guy style. So the copy and paste lifestyle you must work, you must take away in our work in our life. What we need to do is to work to obey God's instruction. Trusting and obeying God is a way that will guide us in this journey that we are running. There is no other path to genuine joy and happiness besides following His teaching and living a life devoted to God to Him. Living a life that is devoted to God to Him. Another concern about our life is this. When somebody said, leave me alone, I'm living my life. We are not the owner of our life. Christ owns our life. Whatever He has us to do, that will we do. He has died for us. He has bought all with what? With His blood. And He's the one standing as what? As our owner what, of our life. So we must obey Him. More time, I think we might be to come to the end of this. There is this saying, okay, I'll talk about that one. Yeah, there is this saying that says, you cannot beat them, you join them. Please, it's a wrong thing. If you cannot beat them, keep on beating them. Keep on trying. One day you're going to beat them. But when you say, no, there are too many that if I can't be like I join them, it's a wrong expression. That shows we don't know who we are. We are a peculiar people, a special people forward before God. We can't go back and change the beginning. That's one thing I know about lifestyle. But we can start where we are now and change what? The ending. Whatever happened in our life, that's the past. We can't change it again. What left for us to do is what? Is to focus our mind toward the main thing that are ahead of us. May God bless this sermon. But let us see the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, and that will be wrapped up. Obeying what? His instruction. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen.